Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 81, Texts 1 and 2. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Saitam Dvijan Mukhena. Saha Sankatayam Hari Sarvabhuta Mano Bhigya Smayamana Uvachitam Ramanyo Brahmanam Krishno Bhagavan Pahasan Priyam Prena Narikshane Vaya Prekshan Kalushitam Gati. Sukadeva Goswami said, Lord Hare Krishna, perfectly knowing the hearts of all living beings, perfectly knows the hearts of all living beings, and he's especially devoted to the Brahmanas. While the Supreme Lord, the goal of all saintly persons, conversed in this way with the best of the twice born, he laughed and spoke the following words to that dear friend of his, the Brahmin Sudama, all the while smiling and looking upon him with affection. Purport, according to Srila Sridhar Swami, the words Sarva Bhuta Mano Vigya indicate that since Lord Krishna knows the minds of everyone, he could tell at once that his friend Sudama had brought some flat rice for him and was ashamed to present it. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's further explanation of this verse, Lord Krishna smiled at this moment, thinking, yes, I am going to make you show me what you brought for me. His smile then turned to laughter as he thought, how long are you going to keep this precious gift hidden in your cloth? Krishna glanced towards the bundle hidden inside his friend's garment, telling Sudama by his loving glance, the veins showing through your emaciated skin and your ragged clothes astonish everyone present, but these symptoms of poverty will last only until tomorrow morning. Although Lord Krishna is Bhagavan, the Supreme Independent Lord, he is always pleased to reciprocate with those who are Priya, his cherished servants. But the indulgent patron of the Brahmin class, he especially enjoys favoring Brahmins who are additionally qualified by unconditional devotion to him. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Daksu and Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Taitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam yena bhutale Sayam rupa kadamayam Dati sapadam titam Panchakalpa karubhyascha Kripa shindu vayevaja Patitanam bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from the Sant Falls. I arrived last night about 2 o'clock in the morning. I went for the day by train to New York City for Kirtan. And first, I went to the Union Square Kirtan, That was a really fantastic guest today. Really amazing. And then I went to the Broome Street Temple where they had kirtan, and then I caught the 11:45 train back. And I spoke yesterday about kirtan a little bit. And what I explained is, and I explained it, kirtan is spiritual love expressed through the discipline of music. Spiritual love is love for God. And if you don't have that love in your heart, you can't do kirtan. And even if you have that love in your heart to a certain degree, kirtan, the definition I gave, spiritual love expressed through the discipline of music. And that's the best kirtan. That's the kirtan of the Cowherd Boys. They're both expert, and they both have love. Even if you don't have the expertise, you have love, you can still do kirtan. If you don't have love, you have musical expertise, you can't do kirtan. But even if you have spiritual love, I said you have to be very, very careful that the ego doesn't appropriate whatever devotion you have into an exhibitionist exuberance or a sense of entertainment or a sense of being the center or an inhibition due to psychology or whatever. So, and then I did a little kirtan myself. I felt without spiritual love or musical expertise, but I tried my hardest. And it's nice seeing so many people come to Krishna consciousness. But again, I had the same strong realization. Unless community and training is developed for them, it's somehow incomplete. I mean, there is community and there is training, but at least more of it. And there's so many. And as I was doing kirtan, my oldest assistant, some of you remember him as James, walked in with his wife. It was so nice to see them. But what a nice person. Also, just of interest, I don't know if they're listening, but when I came back early in the morning, I just quickly checked my email, and I got a wonderful email from Giriraj Swami that our dear and wonderful Sangha members, Carl and Stella, they took initiation from him yesterday. Kalachandri Das is Carl, and Shraddhanjali is Stella. So I was so happy to hear that, and we could all offer our wonderful blessings and prayers to them. I think that's one of the purposes of this kind of sangha, and my faith in it hearing. I'm not saying that that's the cause, but it contributes to commitment. And I'm not saying that commitment has to be a change of name, but commitment to a truth. So that one can actually serve that truth. So you have to have two things. You have to have truth, and you have to have commitment to truth. And you have to know it's right, and you have to this is knowledge and detachment. Knowledge and discipline. If you don't have knowledge, you don't know what to do. If you don't have discipline, you can't do it. And the discipline in bhakti comes from the faith. It comes from the love. which develops in Sangha. It's not just an intellectual discipline. It's a discipline based on conviction, based on the experience of love that comes in the Sangha. So, kind of feeling, because I got up so late, it's almost like rolling out of bed into the Sangha. Not exactly. I've been up for a couple of hours, but didn't really get the sadhana in gear, because I rushed out yesterday. I just wanted to clean the place and get prepared. Anyway, so what a wonderful story. And we're gonna meet in this story today some very, very, you know, amazing points. That's going to resolve a lot about the beginning, where why the Brahmin let his wife suffer. In turn, I know his attitude, he didn't want to go beg from Krishna, even though his wife was just so chaste, but suffering so much because of their poverty. Anyway, we begin the story with a poor Brahmin who happened to go to school with Krishna, was Krishna's friend. And what's going to be answered in today's class is how Krishna, being omniscient and omnipotent, God has to be both. Why he let his Brahmin friend suffer so much if he declares in the Bhagavad Gita, Ananya Chintayato Mam Yome Smarati Nityasa. I preserve what they have, I carry what they lack. And even today, we know so many devotees all over the world, but not to the level of abject poverty of Sudama Brahman. Because Sudama Brahman was so poor that when he wanted it, when finally his wife said, please, we're starving, and we're so poor, your friend's the king. Krishna is the king at that time. Beg something from him, certainly. And then she gave so many arguments why Krishna will certainly help his devotee. Why won't he give him material things? That's not even real, so much value. You're not asking him for the love of God, it's just material things. And he was so embarrassed. The nature of love is to want to give, not to accept. You know, recently, we hosted here in New York one of the main teachers of Krishna consciousness in one of the Muslim countries, who's done incredible service bringing people to spiritual life. It's amazing, in a Muslim country where they can cut off your head, this is a real serious Muslim country, if they can cut off your head for your faith, and how she's able to bring so many, so many people to Bhakti. So she came and stayed with Amiya, and together we really facilitated her stay. We served her nicely. And she wanted to see the tree where Prabhupada started the Krishna consciousness movement. She wanted to see the tree where Prabhupada started the Krishna consciousness movement at 26 Second Avenue. And and it really moved her so deeply. And then so she just wrote me a letter how group by group, the different Iranian, the different bhaktas would come to see her. And she would share that with them and how much they were feeling that. But in the letter, she was talking about the hospitality that she received from me, the care that I served her with Ami, but I served her. And, you know, really, really took care of all her needs. And she wrote, I don't remember the sentence, but you were killing me with your hospitality and your care. She used the term, and it was almost a little foreign to me being in the culture I am. I mean, but I thought about that. I thought about it in relation to Sadama Brahman. For a cultured person, service from the superior is like death. We can't identify with it to that extent with people who grow up in a type of culture where they have impressions of relationships, of how to deal with juniors and how to deal with superiors, what to speak of guru. Like, she said, like it was killing her. So Sadama felt that. I'm going to beg service from Krishna. It's my death. But somehow his wife convinced him, and out of compassion for his wife, actually, he went and Krishna worshipped him, not only as a Brahmin, but as a great devotee. Krishna did worship him, and he had to accept that worship. Because Krishna was a Brahmin, he was a Kshatriya. And even when he comes, they set the example of the social dealing. And they reminisce, they reminisce about their schooling and the blessings of their teachers and the sacrifice that they made. And the Bhagavatam is just so rich in information on culture and bhakti. What's that? You know, they went to get firewood for their guru. They got caught in a storm, torrential downpour. They got lost. But they wouldn't give up the wood that they had found, the special wood for the fire yagya, which is why they went to the forest. The most important thing, it's all samskaras, it's all the impressions in your consciousness, what you're attached to, what you're not. And one has such impressions of integrity and commitment from a proper culture, what to speak of a devotional sense. There's nothing more important than honesty. There's nothing more important than service. And one will die for it. I told the story of my uncle who was a chaplain in the military, and when his ship was sunk, he went down with the ship, getting other people off first. Because that was his duty, and he would rather, and his service to God, and he would rather be true to that than to save his own life. Now, here we have, beginning in this next chapter, Krishna knows that Sudama Brahman has brought this chip rice. He didn't even have it in his own home. He had to beg it from some neighbor. He was practically starving. So, the Bhagavatam is full of rasa. And rasa is perfected love, and it's between God and his devotees. There's so much love. So we'll see that throughout the Bhagavatam. And the Lord knows the heart of his devotee and wants to please him. Of course, how he pleases him . Sometimes I read one verse, I don't remember where I read it in the Bhagavatam. And I don't know where I read the verse in the Bhagavatam, but it says something like, for that, you know, foolish devotee who asks Krishna for material things, he'll satisfy his desire. But that's all he'll get. I don't remember it exactly. But the idea we're going to find in this chapter that Krishna is focused on the heart and the desires and needs of the devotee. It's just like a parent. They try to satisfy the child doesn't mean they necessarily give them all they want. But they want to make them happy. And if there's something that they need, they'll actually give it to him. So Krishna is focused on our heart. And we need more than anything else in the world to love him. Because that's our nature. We're just part of something greater. That's who we are. Our constitution is to serve. And not only to serve, but our constitution is to serve with love, because that's the whole nature of consciousness. It reaches its fruition in love. So this is the love in this verse. Interesting, what I like in this verse too is that, you know, the Brahmin, you know, he has this chip rice, but now he's about to present it. And he's very, very reluctant. He's very, very reluctant. And Krishna sees his heart and sees his devotion. And he kind of laughs. Krishna finds it humorous, kind of. You know, you're reluctant to give me this chip rice, but I'm going to appreciate it so much. What I appreciate is God has a sense of humor. Is it more reasonable to think that God has a sense of humor, that God is dry? Very personal and beautiful understanding of the absolute reality. So, the Hatsan, the Supreme Lord, Krishna Bhagavan. He's Brahmanya, he's devoted to the Brahmins, and to the Brahmin, who he's devoted to, who Abhigya, he knows his heart perfectly. Smayamana, he's smiling. Uvacha, and to him he says, laughing, Priyam, Premna, at his dearest friend, Premna, lovingly, Rikshanena, with a glance. With a glance, smiling. How long are you going to keep this precious gift hidden in your cloth? And your emaciated skin and these symptoms will last only till tomorrow. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. And this is what he says. Kim upayanam anitam Brahman me bhavata grihat andhyapyaparitam bhakte premna bhuryeva me bhavet bhuryapyaparitam namhe toshaya kalpate. The Supreme Lord said, O Brahmana, what gift have you brought me from home? I regard as great even the smallest gift offered by my devotees in pure love. But even great offerings presented to me by non-devotees do not please me. So even great, what is the even great? The Anu. Upaditam, being offered. I consider it buri, that which is small, I consider immense if it's offered with love. And buri, that which is huge. Mame toshea kolpate is not competent to satisfy me. So that which is infinitesimal, he considers huge if offered with love. And that which is huge, if it's not offered with love, he doesn't appreciate. Krishna's standard of enjoyment is love. And because love means to offer the best, he appreciates very fine things. But only when they're manifestations of love. Without the love, there's no enjoyment of fine things. Rich people are depressed. So even a small thing offered in love is appreciated. But if one has so much wealth, then a small thing may not be the expression of love. But if one has nothing, the small thing may be the expression of love, but it's the expression of love. Patam pushpam palam toyam yo me bhakta priyachati. Taraham bhaktya paratam asnami patyatatmanaha. So somehow, these same words that are later to be spoken in Bhagavad Gita are first spoken to Krishna to Sudama. And Krishna's trying to relieve Sudama's anxiety that my gift is small. But Krishna says, Asnami, I will accept. If it's offered in love, I will accept in love. This is bhakti. Dati Pritagrinati Guyam Ajachi Krichati Bhunte Bhojiatai Shaiva, giving and accepting gifts, prasadam, advice, heart, in love, accepted. sought in love, Krishna accepts in love. And the word for accept is ashnami, which also means I eat, which implies that Krishna will even eat a flower if it's offered in love. Which is supposed to be smell, but in the bewildered, ecstatic love offered by the devotee. Famous story of the devotee who's giving bananas to Krishna in ecstatic love, throws away the bananas and offers the peels. And Krishna was eating the peels. And if someone's not offered in love, if one is not a devotee of Krishna, Krishna will not eat it. Priyatatmanaha, implying the word shnami priyatatmanaha, he will accept it from one, priyatatmanaha, whose consciousness is pure in heart, and implying only by devotional service to Krishna can one become pure in heart. Because pure in heart is devotion, it's love. It's the opposite of impure in heart, which is selfishness, material consciousness. Sukadeva Goswami continued, even after being addressed in this way, okay, the Brahmin felt too embarrassed to offer his palmfuls of flat rice to the husband of the goddess of fortune. He simply kept his head bowed in shame. He's just bowing his head. Don't make me ashamed. I cannot give this to you. How can you eat this? How can the Lord of Shri, the Lord of Goddess of Fortune, eat this stale hard rice? Basically, you have so many wonderful things and all opulence and everything. So why will you accept this? I remember, I don't know why it had such an impression on me. When I was young, maybe when there was very few televisions. I remember being in the kitchen of my parents' house, very, very young. And they were watching some kind of show or something. The Tales of Shalom Aleichem, old Yiddish folklore. Remember the song? Aveinu Shalom Aleichem, Aveinu Shalom, Shalom, Shalom Aleichem. It was about this poor man who God was so pleased with. God said, you can have whatever you want. And he asked for fresh roll in butter. That's kind of conception. You know, you have a level of appreciation due to the rarity of something. I remember being in the Sringa Kshetra performing a fire yajna. Forming a fire yajna for the devotees who were incarcerated in Russia. And they snuck out a video from one of the devotees. And the devotees, that person said, he said, I think in Russia that we are more serious than you devotees in the West. Because here, Krishna consciousness is very rare. And when something is rare, you appreciate it more. So how can Krishna, the husband of the goddess of fortune, eat stale, hard, chipped rice? Because the taste is love. And that's why when there are very tasty things offered in love, you can experience love. And when it's not made nicely, you can experience there's no love. I give the example when Prabhupada was offered a flower garland of stale, white, fragrant, was purchased in the market garland. He curled his lips in distaste. What kind of love is this for the guru, for the teacher? But if that same garland was offered by some destitute, poor family, that's all they had, he would be pleased. So we're learning a very important lesson of bhakti and how we should deal. Being the direct witness in the hearts of all living beings, Lord Krishna fully understood why Sudama had come to see him. Thus he thought, in the past, my friend has never worshipped me out of a desire for material opulence. But now he has come to me to satisfy his chaste and devoted wife. I will give him riches that even the immortal demigods cannot attain. So the purport here is very interesting. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comment that, how has it come about, despite my omniscience, Krishna's thinking, that this devotee of mine has fallen into such poverty? And then Krishna himself spoke this verse, these words related to this verse. My friend has never worshipped me out of desire for material opulence. But now he's come to me to satisfy his devotee. That's the answer. He doesn't come for himself. He's coming for his wife. Then the purport goes further, but someone may point out that Sudama should not have been so poverty-stricken, since appropriate maintenance and enjoyment should come as a byproduct of service to God. Even for a devotee, has no alternative motive. And then this, it's confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Ananyas chintayanto mam yejana prayupasate tesham nitya prayuktanam yoga shemam bahamyam. But those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. So why? And then the answer is given in the commentary. Beautiful. There are two types of renounced devotees. One who is indifferent to sense gratification, and one who is inimical towards it. And the Lord does not force enjoyment upon that. In other words, he's responding to the psychology. And it may even be spiritual psychology, just like in Gaur Lila, there's Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who had so much opulence, and then there's Kolavesha Srihar, who had nothing. The example is Jada Bhart. By his psychology and his previous life, how he became entangled, he became completely averse to sense gratification. Completely averse. Because he so much didn't want to. He so much did not want to be entangled in the world, that was his psychology. So the point here is very interesting. Up to the point in his life, Sudama Brahman was averse to sense gratification. That was his psychology. He was just averse to it. Ask me why he got married. Culturally, what? Doesn't seem like he had any children there. Maybe his wife was kind of similar in nature to a certain extent, up to a certain limit. But now, out of compassion for his faithful wife, and also because he wanted a Krishna's audience, he begged. So now he's okay. He's become indifferent. My wife needs something. Okay, let it go. And then Krishna reciprocates. Okay. We'll end here. If there are any questions, I welcome them.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Gail.
Yeah. Can you just remind me what it was that inspired Sudama Brahmana's wife, who was just as pure-hearted as he, to want something?
For her husband.
But she knew that he didn't want or wasn't interested.
What's that?
But she knew that he was not interested.
But he was so emaciated, her compassion too. I mean, she saw. I'd have to look up. I couldn't find it right now. But I'll start the next class and we can read the commentary that was given then. But it was something like that. She was just feeling for her husband.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard seeing someone like that, even if, you know, they're so detached and renounced.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
That was jaw-dropping news, by the way, about Stella and Carl. Because I've always wondered about, you know, that. So, anyway.
Well, there are people that are around for many, many years, and somehow people wonder why they're not initiated.
And then, my goodness, I said, my God, the way they appreciate you beyond the universe, and then so that was like a double whammy right there.
No. You have many inspirations in life.
Yeah, I know.
I knew about this before. It was supposed to get initiated last year.
Mm.
Okay. Anyone else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Vrajarade Devadasi.
Hello. And
thanks for the wonderful class, Maharaj.
Well, I'm just thanking everyone who comes and listens to the classes. I mean, we got quite a few people hearing. It's just you have so much compassion for me that, or love for me, that when you hear the dead silence, you say, Maharaj, I'm here. Thank you. Okay, anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the class.
I heard the Henry and Shastra, Haribo. so nice, just this Krishna Katha. Even though I haven't been able to do anything yet, you know, usually I'm up very, very early, but because I got to bed at 2:33, this is my first real devotional activity besides cleaning up my place. But one nice thing about the train, you know, driving in is like, whoa, you know, parking a car. And it really, I didn't realize how much energy that takes, you know. But, you know, the train is so pleasant up here. That's one great thing about this place. The transportation is amazing. The trains are so clean. I didn't bring my computer, but they're Wi-Fi connected if someone has to do work. The trains are so clean. You know, it's really a great way to travel. It's much better than car or even plane, you know, in one sense. You know, airport security, you know, uncomfortable seats, trying to find something for your luggage. You know, you can think of days of your transportation was really easy, right? Get on the old bullock cart. Everything's in your village, you know. Probably as uncommon as people, you know, go on pilgrimage. You must, you know, like walk to some place. And modern life is really, really, it is Maya Sukaya, every step in advancement. Yeah. So I'm really getting the inspiration after yesterday. It was going down and coming back. Okay, I've done my duty. I've visited the places I have to visit. So, you know, maybe time to spend a little more time up here, or go like I went, you know, just go for a program and come back up here. It's kind of a sleep in your own bed type thing. Because it's something when you have all your facilities that you need. Yeah. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello today? Okay, we can end today. Thank you so much. Vanshakopa Tradition.